a pre-recorded version of the WTK Roundtable on WTK, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. This is recorded, though, so if you call in, nobody will answer you.
For the MGoBlog Roundtable here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket online at WTK.com. The MGoBlog Roundtable is brought to you by Homeshore Lending. If you're looking for a mortgage and you're a Michigan fan, there's only one place to go, Homeshore Lending. For more info, go to homeshorelending.com. That's homeshorelending.com or call 734-531-9950.
And we are here with the MGoBlog Roundtable crew. Always great to see the guys or
It's a triangle in the winter, right. Isn't it?
Yeah, to talk to Craig phone in Hawaii. We welcome Craig Ross in. Craig, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. I'm sorry I missed last week. I was in Lahaina at the Maui basketball tournament. And if anyone ever gets a chance to do that, they should do it. It's played in a small, dingy gym with a low ceiling in Lahaina. It can't be much bigger than my high school gym, maybe at most 2,000 and maybe smaller than that. But it's just a phenomenal environment. You've got eight schools there, teams from all over the country and fans from all over the country, and just loud and fun, and everybody's close. Great experience, and I encourage it if people ever get a chance to do it.
All right, and we have the guys here in the studio. Always great to see you guys, even when we're talking about defeats. You know, that sucks that we have to talk about losses, but it is what it is. From MGoBlog, Brian Cook. Brian, how you doing?
Good, sort of.
Right? And then, of course, Ed Fang from the Power Rank. Ed, how you doing this morning?
I'm good, man. I figured out everything I needed to know about the mood of the show when you guys were talking Pistons when I was driving in this morning.
Oh, no, it was so random because Matt Ultra, true friend of the show from over at Bank of Ann Arbor, he tweeted at me yesterday. He was like, "Aren't talking any NBA? You got one of the best teams in the NBA, right?"
I don't know about that.
Last Pistons
You're the numbers guy. I'm talking about record wise. They're one of the best teams in the NBA, are they not?
I don't know.
Yes, they are. They're second best team in the East.
Fourth best record in the NBA right now.
Fourth best record in the NBA. They are killing it right now. They won in Boston. They won in Golden State. They won in OKC. They're playing well, but that's not why we're here.
That's not why we're here.
His head is about to explode here in this NBA talk.
Professional sports, Brian Cook.
I used to watch the NBA, and then they traded Billups, and I pulled the ripcord immediately. I was like, I'm out!
Gotcha.
It was a good move.
All right, so let's talk some Michigan football, guys. You know, so we were picking the game last week on the KeyBank countdown to kickoff, and I said, give us a winner and score. And of course, Steve Clark flaked out on the score. Ira said, I don't give scores. I said, look, 31-17, Ohio State's going to win this game.
For the record, I have not picked a score in a game like 5 or 6 years.
You're right, but Steve said, I can't pick a score in this game. Showing you, he thought they were going to get absolutely obliterated, which a lot of people did. And so I came back after the game, and what was the final score? What was the final score?
31-20.
31-20. So, the number was close as far as my pick, but I was absolutely wrong in my pick for that game because that was a one-possession game. I thought it would be Ohio State winning and it looking pretty convincing, and it wasn't that. This was Michigan with about 3 minutes to go with 2 timeouts to win the game. And they just weren't able to capitalize.
Their second opportunity. So they had a drive earlier that ended on fourth down, where that was also a fourth quarter drive to go into the lead. One very obvious reason why. And what are you gonna do?
You know, it's tough because you feel for the kid, right? Did you see the post game press conference?
Yeah.
We have to remember these are not pros. This is not giving them a pass. But, when it comes to some of the biting comments that people make about, you don't have to make it personal, but you do, when you analyze the game, have to acknowledge that the biggest contributor to Michigan's demise in the game was their inability to execute on plays that were there, pass plays that were open. You talk about that drive before the final drive, the third down play. Wasn't that the play to Grant Perry? Grant Perry was open.
Yeah.
And it was behind him. And then the fourth down play was
Chris Evans
right down the middle.
Wide open.
What are you going to do? I mean, you can't draw it up any better. The opportunities were there, and he just couldn't hit them.
No, and a number of the sacks that he took were on him. He had Peoples-Jones breaking open, like, right in front of my face, and I'm like, throw the ball, and he didn't throw the ball, gets sacked.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing that most befuddles me about his play is just, you know, I don't know, I've never played quarterback, but it seems like the easiest thing to coach is, like, that clock in your head that gets to three or four, and you're like, if you see the pass rush, you got to get rid of it. And that's just something he wasn't able to do over the course of the season. You know, that I figure that would be the easier thing to coach as opposed to, like, putting a ball spot on.
The pressure of the moment, though, I mean, I don't know. Like you said, none of us have ever played quarterback.
Right.
So, you know, how guys react to pressure in the moment and on game day, that's a trait. That's a skill.
Yeah.
You know, I suppose it can get better, but it explains. People say, well, what did you see in practice? It kind of explains why. Hey, you know, they could be talking about how well he's doing in practice, and I saw it with my own eyes over the course of last spring and every practice over in Rome. I mean, man, John O'Korn played well, was accurate.
Well, what about late the season after he got the job?
My point is that the practice performances didn't translate to the game field, and to me, that has everything to do with reacting to pressure in the moment. You don't feel that pressure. I mean, they can send a blitz, but blitz pressure in practice,
you're still not getting hit.
Yeah, you don't have. Well, Jim will make his quarterbacks live. Like, he made quarterbacks live over in Rome. So getting hit in practice, the consequence of that isn't the same. If you fail in practice, you just failed in practice. You fail in the game, you lose the game. It's just different. Yeah.
Well, actually, I want to ask Brian about this because I feel like it's hard to just take Michigan's sack rate allowed this year and all blame it all on the offensive line.
Sure.
I mean, we know that they're not a good pass protecting unit, but, like, in your opinion, like, how much? I mean, O'Korn's got to take a lot of credit for some of these. You know, how do you break that down? I mean, does that give you any hope for next year about these guys and their pass blocking?
that's a tough one. Because I was grading out their pass blocking for most of the year, and it really didn't come out very well very often.
Okay.
But that was mostly because of a clear deficiency at right tackle and then a consistent inability to pick up stunts. So maybe with a new center that gets better, maybe they can find an answer at right tackle. But, you know, they have to find two tackles this offseason. And if they do that, sure, but... I mean, I do think that O'Korn's presence did kind of take them from 100th in the country to 120th, but they're still about 100th. So that sucks.
Yeah, and Peters wasn't seeing some strong side rushes, too. So, I mean, he could have improved there a little bit.
A little bit. Those were kind of like, we forgot to block this guy. Sorry. I mean,
no, I agree. I agree. I'm not saying that he couldn't take a sack, but I'm more concerned that he didn't really see that until the last second.
Well, I mean, there are quarterbacks with more experience who are able to get the ball out when they see that guy coming. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was tough. And so here's the thing. And Craig, just your take on the game. Let's get your take on the game first.
Well, I mean, of course, the quarterback play was problematic. I counted 11 pretty bad plays by our quarterback and that were consequential in the game but it isn't just him. I mean, you know, the game is frustrating. I mean, things, for example, in the first sequence where Ohio State scores, we're ahead 14-0. They throw a meatball up in the air that Nettles can intercept. He doesn't intercept it. And then on the next play, Michigan runs a twist, and they run it very well. But for some reason, Mo Hurst attacks inside as opposed to staying in his rush lane and on a play where really – Barrett should have been sacked, and they should be kicking a long field goal. Instead, he's scoring a touchdown. And so, you know, it's not just all on the quarterback play. And the same thing happened, or similar stuff happened later in the game. So the pass blocking wasn't great. You know, the one thing that I thought was really good in the game, and I mean, I think this augurs well towards next year, is that we all of a sudden started throwing the ball to our backs. I mean, we had 12 times in this game we threw the ball to the backs, and most of the time they were either open or it was a big game. So
yeah, I'm
that
curious.
Was a positive.
Yeah, it was plays were there. We even saw them pull out that Jed Fish play.
Yep.
And I noted it right away. Obviously, you know, it was an errant throw, but it was that play. So they dug into the toolkit and pulled some things out in this game that worked. That worked schematically, but the execution obviously wasn't there.
I mean, they had guys running wide open all day, and usually they were less than 10 yards downfield, and they were missed. And what do you do with that? Like, do you tell the coaches, like, oh, that was a bad idea to run that play because your quarterback is so bad, or do you not anticipate that we're going to see the worst game of John O'Korn's career, the worst game I can remember a Michigan quarterback having since Nick Sheridan was playing? And he was a walk-on. So it's, I think that you got to assume that your quarterback can make those throws, because if he can't, you're going to lose anyway.
Right. Right. Well, to Craig's point, though, it was mostly that. It wasn't only that. It was mostly that. And so when you have that kind of issue, it is incumbent on upon every other aspect of the team to be virtually flawless. And so when you have an interception that would have kept, you know, Ohio State's first score off the board, I think it was their fourth drive. Is it their fourth drive?
Yeah, that it was 14-0.
Yeah, it was, man, it was that was big. Well, that was big in retrospect.
And that was the same drive with the imaginary penalty on Hudson that turned a third and long into a first and 10.
It was a play right after that.
Yeah.
It was a play right after that, which was a ridiculous penalty. Don't get me started. They didn't lose because of the refs, but they were terrible, man.
Man, it was bad.
And right after that, like, damn, then it's the drop interception. Like, oh, you just felt like it was going to come back to haunt them, because I felt like, and I want to get you guys' take defensively, you know, I've been talking about in our defensive strategy preview, going to have to mix it up defensively on Ohio State, going to have to throw some more zone in there. Michigan had become a team that would play more zone here in the latter part of the season, certainly in the aftermath of the Penn State game, and I thought it was a masterful mix in the first quarter, especially for Don Brown. I thought he had JT Barrett off balance. You know, I thought he struggled at times to figure out where to go with the football. When he went the right place with the football, Michigan was able to break it up. Tyreek Kennell, they were in cover two. He comes up and jars the ball free. They did have one bust where David Long didn't give up on the play, was able to knock it down. But he, I thought, with the way that he mixed things up, this misconception that they were playing man-to-man the whole game, Brian, they didn't play man-to-man the whole game.
No. Who thinks that?
Oh, you should have seen the message board. See, they got to get out of this. They play man all the time. They got to get out of that. That wasn't this game. What game were you watching?
I think that's because the two drag routes on third down where Metellus was trailing and couldn't even tackle, that was man coverage. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they did switch it up, and they ran a lot of what's called trap, where the quarterback just kind of acts as an extra defender in the flat. After showing man. So that was a very confusing thing for Barrett, who completed three passes in this game, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is that right?
Wow. Yeah.
And one of them was a big touchdown pass when Michigan was in cover two.
But that was a bust.
Yeah, it was a bust. It was a bust. And that he recovered from, he played it much better in the second half.
Yeah, Hudson, they went back to it, and Hudson was in that guy's chest, and that's what was supposed to happen on the long touchdown.
Right.
So you saw this season, you saw the defense kind of have one of those per game. So like against, you know, Rutgers, where Bush goes the wrong way on that Wildcat play. And it looks like a really good defense that happens to have two seniors on it. Mm-hmm. So it was never going to be the lockdown defense that last year's defense was. But I think if you're pointing at this game and being like, oh, this defense faded late and they're bad. Like, one, Ohio State is going to get some stuff.
Oh, my God.
Like,
this guy is like my brother. Like my brother.
Wait, who believes Ohio State wasn't going to get some stuff?
A lot of people. Well, I mean, it's just like, you know, there's threads on my board where it's like, what about the defense? I'm like, okay, before the game was over, when O'Korn throws that last pick, they'd given up less than 300 yards to Ohio State. Like,
Right, and you made the stop. You made the kid. Like, someone called it, and it was Phil. Of course it was Phil. Who said, hey, you know, they just, down the stretch, they just, you know, they, what did he say, Ira, they...
Well, you think I actually listened?
They wilted down the stretch. They couldn't get the stop. They made the third, that crucial third down stop. Rashawn Gary came out in his best game of his career. You know, it could have been the play that turned the game when he made that tackle for loss on third down and they missed the field goal, preserving Michigan's chance to win that game with the last drive. The defense against a really good team. They have players too. They're going to make some plays. Made some key stops there, and especially the key stop down
the
stretch.
I mean, what you're criticizing the defense for is only giving the offense a chance to win the game twice. And there was a third attempt where, okay, they got the ball back, and there's 2 minutes left, and Michigan has a couple timeouts. So if you get a stop before that first down, you can get the ball back with like a buck thirty left with no timeouts, and they didn't get that one. Uh-huh. So okay, that's a knock, but they gave the offense two shots at it, and the offense couldn't hack it. And you know, in terms of expectations, I would say the defense probably at least met them this year.
Yeah, for me, what I look for with next year, and this was my question heading into the season. Look, you know, I was in looking at Don Brown's adjustment over the course of the season. You know, I thought he addressed some of the issues that we saw emerge up to the point in the Penn State game when it comes to your safeties and coverage. Last year, they had the luxury, and this was one of the questions I had heading into the season, would they be as proficient in man-to-man coverage with their safeties as they were when they had two bona fide pros in Delano Hill and DeMonte Thomas? And Delano Hill, pure 4-4 guy, what is it, 4-4-8 in the combine, I think.
Yeah.
Would you be able to play that way, that aggressively, with your corners in man-to-man coverage? Now, I think Michigan is still somewhat comfortable doing it because we saw them do it still some in that game. But we also saw them play more zone and get more nickel over the slot as well. I think next year, with the experience that you've seen Jalen Kelly Powell get, I know people keep pointing to the one play, but you know I think they have more faith in him. Ambry Thomas playing some more. I think maybe they play more coverage next year with a nickel over the slot. You got some more zone experience.
That was
as well.
A little bit odd. So they have those two drag routes on Metellus, and okay, you're in man coverage. It's third down. You have a guy over the slot. Why isn't that one of your three cornerbacks who all played well this year? That was like a little bit of a rankle there. I was not entirely pleased that it was Metellus again, because I thought Metellus had a really good finish of the season until this game where he had at least three pretty big negative plays. But you have LeVert Hill. You have Watson. You have Long. Like, hey, let's put them all out there on third down. I don't know.
Yeah, so I think that's something that we'll see, because these, I think, you know, if you look at where Michigan was at the safety position heading into the season and the uncertainty there, I mean, those guys, they came and they performed at a level that, you know, I'm not down. I'm not these. I mean, some fans say, oh, they have terrible safety. I don't think they have terrible safeties. I just think that they have safeties that certainly that are on the same athletic plane as the guys that they replace.
Well, and most of the coverage that Metellus and Kendall had on those slot guys on those fades was good coverage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Rutgers gets a catch because with one hand, and so does Wisconsin. Like, the Penn State one that Kendall gave up was probably the worst one of the year, and he's still there. He's still in position to make a play. He just needs to develop and make that play in the future. I don't think that the slot corner stuff was really that much of a big deal. I think it was just some bad luck mostly. And with those guys getting incrementally better, I'm fairly comfortable with those guys, even in man coverage.
I think back to the beginning of the season when, you know, we had lots of questions about the secondary, a lot of young guys come in. I think they did exceptional. Looking back on it, I mean, you know, they're in my yards per play numbers, you know, the pass defense adjusted out better than the rush defense. I mean, and that was mostly because of big plays, big run plays that they were allowed.
The quarterbacks they went up against.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, my stuff adjusts for all that. So yeah, I mean, I'm happy with the progress of the secondary. I think we have a lot to be optimistic with there.
Well, I mean, look at what they did to Sammy Kyle. He's the best receiver in the league. They whooped him. And I was wondering, like, why isn't Indiana going to Sammy Cobbs at all in the second half? It's because David Long was putting him out of bounds most of the time. So, you know, I think that the whole secondary comes back. That's great news.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the front seven comes back except for Hurst and McCray. They got to find a defensive tackle of two, but there will be a linebacker who steps in. They got about 4 to 6 bullets there.
Yeah, I feel good about defensive tackle. I mean, we Aubrey Solomon went out. We got to get to a break. Aubrey Solomon went out. I saw him limping on the sideline. But I mean, dude, that guy has shown you flashes. You know, Brian Monet is being invited back. I thought he was solid in there as a replacement. They are really, really high on Michael Dwumfer and his ability, calling him a younger,
I believe, but that. Bigger. I see that before I believe it.
He has what they're talking about is his get off. Yeah, he does have get off like that. I mean, you know, Donovan Jeter's inside, Deron Irving Bay's inside, Phil Pia's inside. You got a rotation there. We'll see. Lawrence Thomas might be invited back. So
Marshall.
We'll see. Marshall. That's right. We got to get to a break. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, the ticket. Big news, and we'll start with you, Craig, before we get to the phones. Wilton Spate deciding to transfer and utilize his fifth year elsewhere. Were you surprised by that? What did you think of the decision?
I was surprised. I mean, go ahead. Sorry, Craig.
That's right. No, I was somewhat surprised by it, yeah, because I figured he'd be competing for a job next year. Maybe it implies that McCaffrey is close to being able to play too, or maybe he's been told that Peters is the primary guy starting next year. I don't know.
I don't think that's the case.
To me, it's confusing. I would be very happy for Wilton to be back next year, and because
Michigan would too.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what went on there.
Brian?
Well, I mean, you mentioned this in the break. If it's at all close between Peters and Wilton Spate, it's going to be Peters getting the job. So if he thinks he's close to Peters, then he thinks that he's probably behind the eight ball, because it's not like Peters is going to stop getting better. So he'll probably get faster, better than Spate. He'll also have more upside long term. So whatever quarterback battle was going to happen this spring and fall was going to be tilted towards him.
Yeah, I mean, there was this conspiracy theory out there that Jim
ran him off.
Ran him off, and I was like, man, really?
That's insane.
Right. Right. Yeah, this is a guy, dude. I mean,
do you see what happened when the third string quarterback played this year?
Yeah, I mean, your reaction is like Jim's to that. Like, you can't what?
And above and beyond.
People are saying, what? Come on, man. This is, you know, it's probably why he doesn't, you know, he just totally tunes out a lot of what is said out there, because nothing could be further from the truth.
If you're Jim Harbaugh, you have to tune out so much stuff that's said about you.
There is no coach on the planet who would run off a potential fifth-year senior who started 15 games fairly well in most of those games. And with
what about Kirk Ferentz?
Well, Kirk Ferentz got an ultimatum from his backup quarterback, and I mean, quarterback depth is important, people.
It is very, really? It's very important.
Have you
so,
ever seen any examples of that, Brian?
Yes.
So Wilton, he laid it out, I think, pretty clearly that it was him going into Jim saying, hey, I'm looking to transfer. And, you know, Jim, as Wilton stated, said, hey, is this something I did? Is there anything we can do? Can we talk through this? Because, hey, you know, quarterback situation, it's very clear to me anyway, that this is about being in a competitive situation. Because I do not think that Wilton Spate is a guy that is afraid of competition. Let's make that 100% clear. Terrific guy, has competed the entire time he was here. I mean, this guy is going to California, you know, a couple times a month when he was in high school. just to get better. He is willing to put in the work to compete. I think this is about finding a competitive situation that is that it has a likelier outcome of him seeing the field than this one. Now, he could come back, he can compete, and this ought to tell you all you need to know. He could come back and compete here and, you know, be the backup, but he wants to play in the pros. What matters more, a fifth year at Michigan or playing? And I think he's telling you, playing
well, no,
matters
but
more.
I think what he's also telling you is that he's not sure he's going to win the job.
Absolutely.
Or
that's what I'm saying.
He's not, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Because he's seen...
Like, every Michigan fan in that hypothetical competition is rooting for Brandon Peters. And
or,
so
or
is the
McCaffrey,
coach.
Right?
I mean, or McCaffrey, but it's more likely that Peters... I mean,
and,
he's...
And if you're Spate, you've seen McCaffrey in practice, so you have a lot more information
than
anyone.
I don't think he's
running away from McCaffrey.
It's not about McCaffrey. It's,
no?
This is about... No, it's the Brandon Peters thing.
Yeah.
Is that, and not that he...
Wait, does that mean...
Not that he... Look, do I think that he doubts his ability to go out and win a battle? No, I think he thinks he could beat Brandon Peters. But as I said, if it's close, I mean, you can't just beat him if you're in that dynamic. You gotta be. It has to be decisive. There has to be a gap. It has to be definitive.
Right.
Otherwise, if you are making the decision about who to go with, you're going with the future. You're going with the younger guy.
So is Michigan gonna put a restriction on this transfer that you can't be on our schedule? I think they absolutely should.
You know, I haven't asked that.
I mean, I think it's interesting.
I mean, this is a situation where this is not a guy who's being forced out. This is a guy who knows everything about Michigan's offense. And if Michigan puts a restriction that he can't go play at Rutgers, people are going to throw a hissy fit. But I think it's absolutely justified for Michigan to be like, yeah, you can go anywhere as long as you're not on our schedule. You can go play at Minnesota. Because God knows they need a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing to think about what his options are, right? I mean, Power 5 schools are probably going to be interested.
I mean, how many Big Ten schools would he start at? 10? I mean,
yeah, he's going to have options.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But, like, I mean, are you really enhancing your NFL prospects by going to Rutgers?
If you play, dude, you got Jimmy Garoppolo who went to Eastern Illinois. You got Carson Wentz who played at North Dakota State.
I mean, it doesn't matter where. Just play.
Just play. What matters,
but production on the football field is not about you, right? So if you're gonna have Rutgers offensive line, their skill
Rutgers and North Dakota State aren't created equal. I mean, you can go to North Dakota State, finding a situation at any level of, you know, FBS or even FCS, I guess.
I think he'll have
just perform
FBS. And probably Power 5 options, right?
Yeah, you don't know, he will. I'm just saying, I know, just overall, in general, going somewhere and playing is what's important.
No,
If you have pro prospects.
No, I agree with you. And some of the people who project NFL quarterbacks are seeing, you know, number of starts as a pretty important variable in making that projection.
And so it'll be interesting to see. You know, I haven't asked that question, Brian. It's a good one. And certainly we'll dig into it. Let's go to the phones, 734-998-1050. Talk to Don in Ann Arbor. Don, what's up?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Before I ask my question, I just have to say that Arizona State and Tennessee have finally pushed Bill Martin and Rich Rodriguez to the bottom of the pile now. Brian, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there was a very interesting thread put up last night about offensive holding calls in the Big Ten that the various defenses drew. And over the past three seasons, including this one, according to this poster who says he got his data from ESPN API or whatever that is, I'm not sure what. Over the past three seasons, Wisconsin, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State drew, their defenses drew 21, 20, and 19 offensive holding calls. Michigan's defense drew 10.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Which is an amazing disparity, assuming this data is accurate. Brian, have you had a chance to look at that? Do you have any reaction? And are you or anybody else at MGoBlog going to take a deeper dive under the data to determine whether or not this is actual, really significant information or not?
The thing about holding is it's always so difficult to judge what's a hold and what isn't a hold. Because it's just like, what's a hold? I have this idea. I'm going to put up a website like, is it a hold? And it's like Hot or Not, where you watch a clip of a football play and tell me if that's a hold or not. And I bet
that's a great idea.
It's like a coin flip every time, right? Like, but I have seen some crazy things though. 2 years ago against Michigan State, they score a touchdown, and one of their linebackers has his arms wrapped around a Michigan linebacker in a bear hug. Like, some of the stuff that I get frustrated with is straight up takedowns. Like, Rashawn Gary got tackled on the first play of the Wisconsin game, and that's why Aubrey Solomon had to go out and tackle Hornibrook after a 4-yard gain, because Rashawn Gary was tackled, and that didn't get called. I do think that the refs had a number of extremely bad calls in this game. We talked about the Hudson quote unquote holding. There was the spot at the end of the first half that they reviewed, and then they're like, "Nah, it's fine," because I'm 85 years old and I'm dying right now. No offense, Craig.
That was ridiculous.
I'm older than 85, so it's all right.
That's egregious, though.
Yeah.
To if you can't, and I tweeted this at the time. If you can't correct that call, then there's no need for replay. It's a waste of everyone's time.
And Michigan loses probably 30 or 40 yards of field position because on consecutive punts, guys get blasted directly in the back, and they just ignore it. So, I mean, I don't know.
Go ahead, Brian.
No, go ahead.
Well, I mean, first of all, I give Fox credit on this. Joe Klatt at least 7 times in the game said, "Well, that ain't there," or "That's a bad call," or that, you know, and it was an absurdity, and it's gone on all season. At the beginning of the year in the Florida game, I recall saying that I thought that was the best officiating we would get all year, and that we should, you know, just hope that we get officiating that good. That was, I think, ACC refs, not Big Ten refs, and they did blow one touchdown play in that one on a play that hurt us. But basically, they didn't have their thumb on the scale. And for the rest of the year, this whole entire year, the officiating's been dreadful. It was dreadful in the Wisconsin game. It was dreadful this week. And my vision is get professional referees. I mean, don't give Delaney $20 million. Give officials $20 million and make sure they've got some skin in the game to call neutral and sane games. Otherwise, if I'm Michigan, I don't care about the Big Ten anymore.
Yeah,
go with Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Texas. Form your own conference and pay the officials in that conference.
You know,
because this is absurd. What's happening?
I guess I'm not ready to take that drastic measure. I think some of that is tongue in cheek, but I think I agree. I agree wholeheartedly, Craig. Increase the pay for officials. Get full time guys, and then when you do that, enforce some measure of accountability with officiating that's commensurate with their role in the games. I mean, everyone else in the game has visible public accountability. Player drops pass, he steps in front of the media, they ask him about it. Coach makes wrong call, they call him out. You know, hey, John O'Korn misses a throw, they don't say human error. I mean, these guys don't have a monopoly on human imperfection. Everyone on the field is subject to
John
human
O'Korn
error. So why do the
paid.
Officials get a pass on that?
John O'Korn isn't being paid, and he's getting, you know, he's the subject of criticism. He has to come out in front of the media. He ain't getting paid. He's a 22-year-old kid.
Well, I was watching, I was watching NBC, and they do EPL stuff. And they had a ref on, and he was in a suit, and he talked for like 20 minutes about various calls where it's like, this is wrong, but this is why he got this wrong, and this is right, and this is why this is right. And it was awesome. Yeah. I was like, okay, sure. Now I feel like I understand more about the game, and I think that this guy is not a total twit. had to
just a partial one.
Guys, I mean, NFL refs aren't even full-time.
Some of them are now, right?
Now?
Yeah, some of them are.
When did that happen? That happened the last two years.
I think it was the offseason going into this year.
All or just
not all?
A group
not
of
all.
Them. I think the head refs in each crew might be. It might be how the breakdown. So they can oversee their guys and coach them up.
All We're not going to see that in the Big Ten anytime in the near future, unfortunately.
We got to get to a break. We'll be back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, the ticket. Real quickly, guys, you know, I've been getting questions for the past couple of days. Hey, these transfers that we're seeing from Michigan, is that something to be concerned about? Is it a sign, is it a sign of a problem, Brian Cook?
You just want me to blow everybody up on this show. No, all the guys who have left were either fourth year guys. I'll get it right. Guys who had no path to the field, they're leaving with a degree and they're going to explore their last year or two of eligibility elsewhere. Spate's the exception, but we just talked about why Spate would want to leave. I know Michigan didn't want him to leave, but he's the only guy who Michigan has lost who they expected to play ever.
I'm surprised we haven't seen more national narrative about Michigan's programs falling apart. Look, two quarterbacks transferred.
You know, I think we're going to see, I think you're going to look at a ton of programs across the country where you see grad transfers going elsewhere. I think that's just part of the fabric of college football and basketball now.
Yep.
Well, Michigan is, so a couple of years ago, they made Matt Godin go through spring practice.
That is, that's a policy.
Yeah, like there are guys who like are playing for their scholarship. If a spot opens up, then they can play,
right.
And that's how Michigan has been able to keep close to the 85 limit for most of Harbaugh's tenure without doing seriously shady Alabama stuff.
Yeah, so. that is an absolute policy. Now there are some guys that will just get a straight invitation back,
right?
And then there are other guys that are maybe they're on the fence about come back and earn a fifth year in spring ball.
And there are some guys who it's like, well, good luck in your endeavors.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It works out that way. So, but, you know, the thing that is, the other thing that you should take from this is how amicable these processes. Now, every guy, you're going to have, a disgruntled guy or two that just didn't like his experience. But that's anywhere. But by and large, in Wilton Spate's commentary is a textbook example where he said, hey, Coach Harbaugh was like, can we talk through this? Is it something I did? What's up? Draymond Hall is an example because a lot of coaches that, if a kid comes in and says, if he comes to you in the fall, before fall camp and says, I want to transfer. And the coach is like, man, dude, instead of saying, hey, go through fall camp. Go through the season. Let's see how you feel. And then that kid comes back to you and says, I want my release. A lot of coaches would say, go.
Right.
What Jim did is he granted Draymond Hall his release to communicate with other schools. That release has been sent to other schools, and yet he is allowing him to still proceed with the team while he goes through that process. Maybe the kid changed. Maybe he decides he wants to stay. Maybe he, who knows? But a lot of coaches wouldn't handle it that way.
Right. They'd just be like next.
They'd just be like next. So I think that should demonstrate that, hey, the way that these transfer things are happening with Michigan right now is not a sign that, hey, things have run amok. It's not that kind of party.
No, and it's important for Michigan to get up to 20 or 22 guys in this class just to kind of balance it out. You don't want to have a program where you have 8 seniors on the roster. That's not a great situation, as Michigan discovered.
Yeah, so great show as always, fellas. Craig, you having a good time out there in Hawaii?
Hey, it's lovely. Everything's good.
I'm sure it is, Craig.
It's lovely here, too.
Yeah. Okay,
the
good.
The rain is awesome.
I miss you guys.
All right, likewise, my man. Until next week, thanks for listening. That was the MGo Blog Roundtable here on the Michigan Insider.
got it better than